From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, June 7th, 2018. And on this day, a job fair for people in recovery in Maine and how town clerks in the state are getting ready for ranked choice voting. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
In an unexpected announcement, Maine's Chief Justice says in the future, state court records will be available to the public online. Chief Justice Lee Softley says she envisions something similar to the federal PACER system, which charges a small fee for online access to court documents like schedules, motions, and decisions. Softley made the announcement at the start of a hearing on rules proposed by the majority on a transparency and privacy task force. The panel had wanted online access limited to what would have amounted to a table of contents. Reporters and members of the public would have had to travel to a courthouse to look at the actual files, as they do now. News organizations, including Maine Public Radio, advocated for open access. Suzanne Goucher is president and CEO of the Maine Association of Broadcasters.
It appears that what the Chief Justice is moving toward is equitable treatment across the board. In other words, if you can go to a courthouse and look at a paper record, then the paper record should be available online.
Goucher says the Chief Justice indicated it would take a couple months to write rules pertaining to online access. It may be several years before the system's in place. Ranked choice voting is forcing candidates to think about how they're campaigning and will make voters think twice about their choices. But perhaps no group has more to think about than municipal clerks, the people who will conduct next week's vote. Erwin Gratz has that story.
Whether you touch a screen, fill in an oval, or put an X in a box, the way you vote changes next week. And that means changes for people like Sandra Fournier.
It's very stressful.
Fournier is town clerk in Eagle Lake in far northern Maine. She also is responsible for conducting elections in some of the nearby unorganized townships.
And, of course, on election day, we have to deal with a lot of different factors as it is.
Fournier says she has to find space for poll watchers. She must train and monitor poll workers. And clerks are often the first line of enforcement for the laws that limit what candidates and their supporters can do and say around polling stations. But not all clerks are worried.
This is the sort of thing that I find really exciting.
Angela Holmes is the city clerk in Westbrook, next to Portland.
Making sure that the people who want to vote are able to vote and express their opinions. This is the democratic process. This is why I do what I do. And elections are always exciting.
It's Secretary of State Matt Dunlap's job to make sure the clerks understand ranked choice voting and their role in it.
We do a training every year for clerks, and we have it in some central location. That'll be supplemented by some regional trainings. So we did that back in May. So we spent a couple of days in Bethel. We went down to the Sunday River Resort, and we worked with several hundred clerks.
You heard right. Several hundred clerks, one in every city and town in the state. That presents its own challenge. For instance, when we talked to Sandra Fournier in Eagle Lake, she worried about the extra time and expense to do the second, third, however many rounds of ranked choice counting that might need to be done. But she needn't have worried. Secretary of State Dunlap says his staff will do that.
As we've built the rule around conducting ranked choice voting elections, we've been really careful to make it as easy for town election officials as possible. You see that most clearly is where they are tabulating only the first place votes on election night. So basically, they're running the election the way they always have.
The state will also pick up the extra expense, which Dunlap has said could run to as much as $400,000. Eagle Lake Clerk Fournier does have something else she worries about. Questions from voters.
I'm expecting on election day to be bombarded. This is not something that's going to be normal for them.
That, says Secretary of State Dunlap, puts clerks and other poll workers in a tricky spot.
You don't want to get into answering questions about candidates because you can't influence a voter. So we've been developing some materials like posters and whatnot that can be put up in the polling places so that people can see exactly what a valid or an invalid vote would be.
Westbrook City Clerk Angela Holmes, for one, is appreciative.
The Secretary of State's office has been phenomenal in providing public resources. They did a little animated video, which is a great way to get the quick scoop on how ranked choice voting actually works. And we've directed a lot of people there.
And Eagle Lake's Fournier says, nervousness aside, she too finds next week's vote exciting and historic.
I'm excited because I'd like to see how this process actually can result in maybe a total change in a candidate that you wouldn't have normally seen with how the previous elections have been done. And at the same time, it is historic because this is new ground for Maine.
Ground Mainers will be covering when they take those final steps into the voting booths Tuesday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Erwin Gratz.
And finally today, it wasn't your typical job fair. More than 60 people came to the event in Biddeford today in the hopes of finding an employer willing to give them a chance. Those job seekers are all in recovery for substance abuse disorders. Patty White has more.
The job fair itself was on the ground floor of the Pepperell Mill in Biddeford. But those who needed a little extra confidence before they met with potential employers stopped at Tulu Salon on the second floor for a free haircut.
You know, I needed a little boost, you know, and say I'm okay, you know.
Rose St. George of South Portland has been in recovery for drug addiction for about 3 years. She says she's been out of a job for a while, but she relishes the idea of what working would mean for her.
Freedom, you know, being able to get up in the morning and go to work and be productive again in society.
After salon owner Tara Johnson finishes drying St. George's hair, it's time to give the job search a try.
How's it look?
Looks really good. Love it. Thank you.
Hopefully, it gets you a job.
Yes.
Downstairs, 27 employers have set up booths. They're offering positions that range from food and customer service to manufacturing and manual work.
Hello. So you're hiring. Trying to get back out there.
Kimberly Nichols of Biddeford stops at the Goodwill booth. She's been in recovery from alcohol addiction for 4 months. She's been looking for work for 3 and says she's starting to feel desperate.
I've filled out several applications with nothing happening. So I'm thinking because of my past, it's preventing me from getting employment.
It's a problem that Tim Cheney of Enso Recovery says is common. He himself is in long-term recovery for a substance use disorder.
We're sort of the 21st century lepers.
Cheney says employers often reject job applicants who are in recovery because they have arrest records related to their substance use disorder. He hopes the job fair, organized by Enso, York County Sheriff Bill King, and independent representative Martin Groman of Biddeford, will help employers view these job seekers differently, not as people with a criminal history, but as people with a health issue, where community support is part of the long-term treatment.
You cannot sustain your recovery if you don't have employment, don't have housing, don't have a sense of belonging, don't have a sense of community. These are essential.
Some businesses at the job fair have already sought out employees in recovery. They account for about 10% of the workforce at Holy Donut, says General Manager Sean Longton.
They're dedicated. They want to get a new start on life, so they're looking just for an opportunity, and we're happy to give that to them.
Lark Pitts of Portland-based Paradigm Windows says the company has also had success employing people in recovery. She's got 12 positions to fill, and a couple hours into the job fair, she had 9 interviews lined up.
It's good to have people that want to work.
One of those job hopefuls is Abner Clarkson of Waterboro. He's in recovery from a heroin addiction and is currently serving a sentence at the York County Jail. The sheriff arranged for Clarkson and other inmates who will be released soon to attend the job fair or do Skype interviews to line up work.
I mean, that's a big thing. It's not just because of the money, you know, and not having any money, but it gives you something to do during the day so you're not sitting on your hands and getting in trouble.
Lark Pitts of Paradigm invites Clarkson to come to their factory for an interview when he's released. But not everyone at the fair finds success. Steve Bergeron of Biddeford has been in recovery for 5 years, and while he's interested in some of the jobs at the fair, there's a problem.
I don't have any transportation to get there. I lost my license.
He's been searching for a job for 6 months and says he'll keep trying. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, June 7th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.